Homeless, homeless, moonlight sleeping on a midnight lake. Homeless, homeless, moonlight sleeping on a midnight lake. Homeless,
we are
homeless, the moonlight sleeping on a midnight
lake. Hi everybody, and welcome back to No Place Like Home, Northampton's only podcast dedicated to making homelessness history. And you know, if you don't have anywhere to go in this town, and you don't have a friend, there's always one place where the doors will stay open, that will welcome you and accept you as you are.
Amen. 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 Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog in the shrine.
Churches in Northampton have been quiet heroes in the battle against poverty and homelessness in this town and in this county. Almost every church has made a contribution of some kind, either setting up a food bank or a program that helps people find companionship or training in order to regain their dignity and the value of their humanity. Since last year, All Saints and St. Giles churches have made it their policy to allow homeless people to camp in their churchyards and try to provide them with hot food and some chance to get their lives back on track. It's not ideal, but it's safer than letting people sleep on the streets.
They arrived with us in around about November, December last year. We hadn't had, before that point, a large-scale rough sleeping issue in the churchyard. But as efforts were made to try and clear out Abingdon Street, the main shopping street in Northampton, they were more or less displaced to here. And our response, which was quite cautious at the time, was, well, actually, you know, we could choose to, you know, do a further eviction and heave them out perhaps to churchyards further out or to other sites, to places where they're going to be much more hidden, or we could tolerate the situation here, even though it's far from ideal, especially for those people who have relatives buried in the churchyard, and say, well, actually, we can at least make them safe while they're there.
Meet Reverend Oliver Coss, the Vicar of All Saints, who has made it part of his mission to face up to society's neglect of homeless people and to remind local councils that letting people die in the streets is not the way we should be living our lives.
We know that, you know, once you've spent a month on the streets, the effect on you and your health is something that can actually stay with you. And we do see people who, you know, even though they've been housed and moved on to accommodation, are still being admitted to hospital, still dying as a result of that. I think being homeless, I think, is a little bit like taking up chain smoking, that it presents approximate and lasting risk to your health, and one that isn't going to go away just because you get a roof over your head for a few days. And ultimately, Northampton Borough Council are right, we need more housing, we need better access to housing, we need better rights for tenants when they're in there, and we need better support people when they fall off the perch and when things happen. Somebody who's on the street has an alcohol or drug issue. If they get to a better place, that's quite miraculous. What sometimes happens is they fall off the perch and fall off the wagon in that regard. We need to become, our care system for that needs to become forgiving. It needs to be able to deal with somebody who has a relapse. It needs to be able to deal with somebody who, you know, who has had historic debt problems and finds themselves on the streets again. We need to be saying no second night out and kind of meaning it.
And what do the parishioners think? Some are not happy with the arrangement and others are proud that the church is taking a stand.
Yeah, there are mixed feelings. I think if you have, that grave site was closed in the 1840s to new burials. So it's for a long time now, but since the 1980s we've had a section for the burial of cremated remains. So there are quite a lot of people who are worshipping here or who are part of here, who have relatives in there. I think for most people coming to worship on Sunday, it's behind the church, and so you don't necessarily see, you're not confronted in that way, and so it just goes unremarked upon, really. Some people are actually quite proud that we've said we're not going to do as others do and just heave them off into the ether. Others have been quite upset when they've seen that there's been disruption, that have there's disturbed grave spaces and everything else like that. And every time we sort of sit, you know, we think that the situation's petering out, you know, one or two more people arrive, and so we're kind of back to square one with new people that we need to try and engage with. So it is a mixed reaction. None of it at all has been prejudiced or hurtful.
But Reverend Ollie, as he is affectionately known by some of his temporary residents, is under no illusion that putting up tents in a churchyard is some sort of solution.
For the foreseeable future, we'll continue with a policy of no eviction, but you know we will certainly be, you know, carrying on trying to encourage people to go inside, particularly when it's cold and difficult. The weather conditions at this time of year can mean anything. As it happens, we've had a very mild winter, but certainly last winter we had a very acute winter, and then we had a very acutely hot summer. And just making sure people, you know, they aren't very easy to become institutionalised, but making sure that visibility of services, visibility of the opportunity to get housed or to move on into something that is safer, that is less likely to expose them to acute danger, is quite important. I think it's important the public know that it is not an intractable problem. That's the first thing. The solutions are none of them impossible. And that there are clear reasons for rises in rough sleeping, and there are clear solutions that are ahead of them. I think that the mix between giving and acting needs to just sort of be clarified in people's minds that both are necessary. The charities need, obviously, people's generosity and donations, whether that comes materially or financially. I think they also need our hands to be doing stuff.
After talking to Reverend Oliver, I went out behind the church to meet some of the people living there. It has to be said there was a certain amount of rubbish as well, and some empty tents. I also found Joss and Pete and Wayne, all mates, who were very grateful to be sheltering off the street. It's impossible to verify everything they told me, and to know how much personal responsibility they bear for their circumstances, but they seemed very genuine and were not just concerned about themselves. Who would dare say they don't deserve to have a roof over their heads, or that their lives don't matter?
Wayne?
I was sent to prison.
Mm-hmm.
I served 6 months in Woodhill Prison.
Yeah.
And on release, my conditions are I'm not allowed to attend my own house for 12 months. So...
That's in Northampton, isn't it?
Yeah, Northampton, yeah. When they bailed me, released me, they released me to NFA, no fixed abode. So they made me homeless, even though I have my own home back over Kingsley.
You do have a home, yeah.
Yeah.
And your family is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of the situation, the arguing, the fighting that went on, I'm not allowed back to that property for 12 months. I'm allowed down on 6 occasions to collect my personal belongings, but the family's been awkward. So I've ended up in a tent. At first I was sleeping in doorways, but then a company called Outreach, they come round and I was handing out clothes and hot food and tents. So I took a tent and, well, here it is.
Oh, stand the man.
Yes.
The church, I think it's called the pastor.
Uh-huh.
Or pasture.
He
allows us to be in here because he'd rather us be in here safe, because there's strength in numbers, you see.
Yeah.
He'd rather us be in here safe than somewhere out there on the street.
Yeah. And how has the church treated you and people at the church?
Oh, Father Oliver, listen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Father
Oliver's
a diamond, mate.
Yes, he is.
We see the best and worst of humanity.
I've been here for
people
about 4 years.
So kind
years,
in what they give us. Sometimes, you know, it is the amount of people that give up their time to come out here to give us all sorts of things to help us survive is breathtaking, you know.
Yeah.
They're like angels, but mixed with that, we get people come past, hurl abuse at us and say stuff.
We got abused a few weeks ago. Somebody come past, effing and blinding, how dare you? You're sleeping in the church graveyard, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
And I said to mate, the pastor that runs the place, he allows us to be here.
Yeah.
Because we're safer here.
Yeah.
He's got a heart of gold, that bloke. Yes.
You know, listening to the stories of people who've ended up there, you know, there are stories about employment, there are stories about addiction, there are stories about family breakdown, there's stories about domestic abuse, stories about sexual abuse, you know, and things that are, you know, long-lasting in somebody's mind. And as much as we can say, oh, hey, well, you know, domestic abuse isn't going to be a kind of a serious issue anymore, or as much, you know, be a difficult claim to make, as much as you can say that there is an ebb and flow and a need for particular social problems to be addressed, the more we kind of chip away at provision for that, the more we're more likely to be making people homeless.
I've had a bad year. I've got evicted from the place because I fell behind on the rent. And my landlord wasn't very sort of appreciative or patient. And I got turfed out pretty much. It was like 10 o'clock at night, just thrown out pretty much into the streets. I would have died on the first night had it not been for Wayne here. He saved my life. I fell asleep. It was just down there by the dumpsters. I had less clothing on it. I had now, and I had no duvet, nothing. I would have perished that night probably, because it was a night we had proper frosts.
Yeah.
It was in early February.
Yeah. And what did Wayne do? How did Wayne save you?
He basically just helped me up. He said, "What are you doing? You're going to freeze to death tonight. You're underdressed. What are you doing?" And he led me to a place I could get my head down. The problem is, like, once you're here, how do you get off the street? It's like I'm trapped, really, like I think everyone is. It's very hard to get a job. I mean, for my Universal Credit, I got £30, and that's got to last me till the I'm in for a whole month, and I've got nothing until the 17th of April. I've already done 2 weeks with nothing. I mean, it's horrific.
Did you work before?
I was working before, but I lost my job because I got evicted. I stayed up the very first night, I think this was 10th of February, I stayed up all night because I didn't know where to go, and I thought it'd be safer not to sleep. I went to work the next day, and because I wasn't really quiet with it, because I'd stayed up all night, I had my phone on me on the call floor where I was working, and because of data protection, they did a random check, and I got caught with the phone on me. Although I wasn't doing anything with it, bad with it, it was only for a split second they sacked me for it. And then from there, it's just been downhill.
When was that, can I ask?
That was 10th of February.
This year.
And ever since, I mean, that really knocked me, because I liked the job. I thought it was a bit harsh, considering I walked, you know, I stayed up all night, and then walked all the way from here, all the way out to Moulton Park to get into work, and then for that to happen, you know, was really upsetting.
Pete and Wayne admitted that drink and drugs are a big problem for them, and others like them, but they also found that drugs won't help them turn their lives around.
Because there is nothing out here for us to do, we spend our time drinking alcohol and doing drugs.
Yeah, what's there to do?
But there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go, there's nothing to do. There's not, like, if they had somewhere like a unit where you could go there and drink coffee and play pool and watch TV.
Yeah.
Once you take heroin, you're on heroin for life. It gives you such a... I mean, I admit it, I've tried it.
Oh, that's why I left it alone, mate.
I turned away from it.
Hmm.
It makes you feel so light and fluffy.
Hmm.
And you haven't got a care in the world. And...
Until you're ill.
It doesn't take you off the street, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that's just... I mean, I'm on benefits, so I can't afford to be spending my money on drugs.
One thing the lads made clear was that changes to the benefit system were really making life more difficult for them.
I don't know what to do. I don't really know how to look after myself properly with the benefits.
Yeah,
I mean, like the reason I got £30 with Universal Credit is because they misinformed me at the job centre. They said when you when you work, you don't get paid from your universal credit, which is what happened. And then when you stop working, it comes alive again. But that's what they told me. So, but I found out later that you have to then declare that you're back off work again. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I missed weeks of benefit pay. Mm-hmm. So
that's been, and that was more of a problem than it's been in the past.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, it's so confusing for people. How are you supposed to understand it all?
I was on ESA, Employment Support Allowance, before I went to prison. And because I was in prison for over 3 months, they stopped my claim. And when I come out, I had to reclaim, and now they've put me on Universal Credit.
Yeah.
Well, when I was on ESA, I was getting £251 a fortnight. So that's £402 a month. Now I get £291. Mm. I don't understand how they expect me to survive on £291 for a whole month. If I was back on my ESA, £251 a fortnight, then I'll be much better off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then I could perhaps afford to rent a room somewhere instead of being out here.
Situation, yeah. See how long that lasts.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's housing benefit, but what use is housing benefit? Because nowhere takes it. Unless you rent through the council, nowhere.
So you wouldn't be taken in by any single private landlord.
So housing benefit is of no use. You either pay your rent out of here.
Non-smoker and all that.
Non-smoker, no pets.
And you need like £1,000 or
something. Yeah, bollocks, mate.
Like a lot of other people I've spoken to, these three wonder why the empty buildings around Northampton can't be used, especially to help homeless women.
All these empty buildings scattered around.
Why can't they open one of them up? Yeah.
And say, you know, you can use this building until it's rented or sold or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many buildings around it, and it's shocking to think that all of these places have stood there dormant, and we're all out here.
They could do something with that, even if you have to pay a little bit, have a benefit, you know, to be in there.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
Pete just had a good point.
The homeless women.
There's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, there's not.
They won't take them in the night.
You've got the one down to the train station. That's for men. I'm not knowing anywhere for women.
Yeah. No, yeah. In my opinion.
Man can look after themselves.
Yeah, man can. Listen, I'll stay out on the street. I'll give a girl my bed.
Yes, mate.
They're precious in
this
world.
That's all wrong, mate.
And they shouldn't be out here. The government should step in and say, this building here is for women only.
Yeah, it's all men.
It's all men. Yeah. There's nowhere for women to go.
Amen, amen, amen. Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog in the shine of your light. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife.
Thanks for listening. Remember, the Hope Center and other charities can always use your help and your donations. Back next month with more on how to make homelessness a thing of the past.